Backseat Producers, number 114, Porky's. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Ed.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
We are. I always feel like I should say something after that, but I never do.
Oh, well. You did that time. You said we are.
Well, that's because we've done this episode once now, and I had time to prepare my statement. Instead of sounding like a tool right off the bat.
This is true. This is true. And we're going to have a little bit of... We're probably going to have a little bit of Skype scratchiness throughout this one. It's kind of unavoidable since we're using Skype.
I couldn't be bothered to drive out to Tony's tonight.
No, and I couldn't be bothered to put on pants, so we're even.
Well, actually, here's the real story. I said I was, like, really exhausted, but that's not true. I've been listening to the Harry Dresden audio files, the audiobooks, and I'm a total, one complete book ahead of where Molina is, and... If I'm in the car for an hour and a half by myself tonight, I'm going to start the next one, and she won't murder me.
Yeah, that's not a good scene. You guys need to plan a road trip just to get her caught up. And
well, yeah, we're doing that this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
Which is why I don't want to start one that I'm not going to finish before we...
All right. So, this week, we were talking about Porky's.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about this movie again.
Again. Because we got about 10 minutes into the conversation. And
yeah, I think we can probably condense down what we said in 10 minutes to like 2.
Well, especially since we're not going to be distracted by that god-awful echo clipping sound that we had during the recording we tried last time. That was
You're not going to be distracted by the god-awful clipping echo noise that we had during the last recording.
Yeah. Apparently somebody else still has that problem. I don't. And I'm the one on the recording end, so we're gonna muscle on through this.
It's fine.
All right. So
I'll look at myself on the webcam video.
Yeah, so Porky's. High-level thoughts. What do you got?
High-level, I enjoyed the movie. It was a lot more racy than I thought it was going to be, which is my speed when it comes to humor.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed it, even though it was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, the story is ridiculous, but it's not meant to be taken all that seriously. It doesn't take itself all that seriously.
Right.
I probably hadn't seen this movie in about 15 years, and I was not expecting a few of the topics that came up in the movie just because I hadn't remembered them, or they just never hit my radar when I watched it, 15, 20 years ago. It had some surprising darkness to it that I just didn't pick up on before. So it actually was kind of, there was a lot more there than I remembered. And, that was a good thing, because all I was thinking of is, hey, this is a movie I used to watch when I needed a fix to see boobs on TV.
Yeah, boobs are good, yeah.
Because at the time, that was all I was really looking at that for.
Mm-hmm.
It was a comedy that also had boobs. So
yeah, I really didn't get into the whole boob thing. Yeah, because there weren't that really many boobs in it.
No, but it mostly surrounded one scene. That famous shower scene.
Yeah.
That this movie is known for, and the follow-up scene to that as well.
The scene also has ridiculous butch.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right, so moving on, because we're going to treat this movie like we treat every other movie. So we're going to talk about every aspect of it, whether you like it or not. So acting.
Acting, I thought, was all right. As we discussed in the first take of this episode, I think my problem stems more from the way the dialogue is written more than the acting itself.
And I can see that. I mean, the acting was...
Well, you're the one who told me that.
Yeah, well. the acting is a product of the dialogue. The dialogue is a product of getting a joke across. for the most part. There really isn't. Every scene is used to drive some joke or some point of the plot that just drives them toward another joke. So the, you know, any dialogue or any quote unquote acting that happens in this movie is just to forward those things. It's to forward a joke or a prank to that happens on one of the quote unquote heroes of this
heroes.
Our fateful heroes trying to get laid. Because that's exactly what this movie's about. This is about five guys who are just trying to get laid.
I love the names. Meat and Pee-wee.
Yeah, it's great that the two guys with the most obvious nicknames of the bunch, their nicknames are directly related to the size of their penises. And it's not the inverse naming that you sometimes see where the big guy is named Tiny and the short dude's named Stretch. No. Pee-wee has a small penis. Meat does not. Yeah, so in the first time around, one of the things you mentioned was the raciness, and specifically the scene where the first time they think they're going to get laid, where they go meet the hooker.
That scene is freaking hysterical.
Yeah.
Just because it's like the same ball-busting asshole humor that I like to have with my friends. Because those two guys who set up the whole thing with, like, the crazy black guy and the hooker, those guys are geniuses.
Yes. Yes, they are. And what was her name? Honey? Or Cherry?
I have no idea.
Oh, damn it. Anyway, never mind.
Chris says that scene is B. Phil, Francis, and Paul. Well, I'll meet. Francis is Pee-wee.
Well, yeah, I think that kind of goes without saying. Oh, I didn't realize you were back in the chat room.
There are a lot of jokes in here that, like, usually when I watch a movie that's 20 plus years old, like, I don't feel a connection with the jokes. But there are some scenes in this that were absolutely hysterical.
Well, and there's some stuff that they do in this that this movie is so far out of the public conscious that even if people had seen the movie 10 years ago, you could probably pull some of these pranks on people and get away with them. You know, you could still get people with them. Like, I can totally see doing the egg thing with Phil.
Mm-hmm.
That would be freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
You know?
That would be hilarious.
And having Phil do it to somebody else, you know?
Yeah, and then doing it wrong. Yeah,
because I can totally see, you know, doing it to Phil and then getting him to do it to, like, Paul. And to me, that just
buying sounds him hilarious. A gigantic novelty condom to make fun of his small penis.
Yes, and putting it over his head because he's the biggest dickhead she'd ever dated.
That was another thing that was really bizarre about this movie. Like, and I'm going to go ahead and spoil it because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because this movie is as old as I am. So
older.
It came out in 83, did it?
81.
Oh, this movie is older than I am.
Yeah.
Like, the role of women in this story is very weird. Like, if you look at not the hooker chick, or not any of the stripper chicks at Porky's, but if you look at the chick who's in their group,
yeah,
like, her relationship with everybody in the group is just very bizarre. Like, everybody has banged her, and then in the end, as a reward for doing whatever, that one guy's like, dude, you should just go bang Pee-wee and get over with. She's like, all right.
Well, she lost the bet.
Oh yeah, they made a bet. What the hell was the bet about?
It was a bet that they could pull it off.
They could pull off the whole
revenge against Porky.
Mm-hmm.
And she lost the bet, so she had to do Pee-wee. one of the things when I was getting ready to watch the movie, I kind of just peeked at a few things on IMDb just because it had been so long since I'd seen the movie, and I was just curious to see if there was anybody who was, you know, at the time not famous, who'd been in the movie and became famous, that I just didn't remember was even in it. One of the things I ran across was a review of the movie done by Roger Ebert back in 81. And he said one of the things, and I read the review before I saw the movie, and I watched for it, and it's pretty true. It's weird. He said, for a movie that's about guys trying to get laid and get with women and who are supposed to be so desiring of women, the movie itself hates women. That every female character in it is hateful, spiteful, rotten, vindictive, or in some way, yeah, it was weird, and it was.
I didn't get that sense of that. I just got a sense that they were the female equivalent of the ball busting asshole. Like, they had to hold their own with that group.
Which is, but see, and that's the point. Why would they have had to? And I think that's the weird dynamic is. That the women weren't really treated like women in the movie. They were treated just like props that were those same guys. They just happened to have boobs and bush.
I guess I can see where you're coming from, but I like to disambiguate my... It's disambiguate, it's a retarded word.
Yes, I like to... I agree.
That's how I prefer to treat the women in my life, though. Like... just like the other guys that I hang out with. So, I mean, to me, it doesn't feel... They have a weird relationship, but I don't think that it's because they're, like, vindictive or it's, like, the guy who made it is, like, working out his issues with women or anything like that. I just feel that their relationship is weird because they're part of that group of guys, like, that group of assholes.
Yeah, that could be it as much as anything. But, yeah, I'm still leaning toward the fact that the movie itself just wasn't very kind to women.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just in general.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking in the, you know, feminist, oh, you shouldn't objectify women who are nude, you know, and, you know, all of that, whatever. No, it's more along the lines of just that even the women that weren't stripped down and stuff, they were, it was all about that the women were either sluts. I mean, because there are a couple of obvious examples that the women are just, you know, sex fiends. Like you pointed out, the one chick who's with them, who's like part of that group, and sleeps with like every one of them at some point, or has a history of having slept with almost every one of them, and in the end ends up doing Pee-wee also. That's just a weird dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's even a weird dynamic for the guys. I don't know too many guys that would have a girl in their group that they'd all kind of passed around. That's unusual to me.
I think it's just unusual in general.
Well, yeah. I wasn't going to make that general statement because I'm not, you know, I don't know how everyone's groups are. But that just seemed weird. And then you had, like, Kim Cattrall's character who, you know, kept having these, like, manic moments where she's seems so sweet and demure and innocent. And then she frickin' just goes off on Ballbreaker when Ballbreaker catches him. Mm-hmm. I mean, just goes crazy on her.
Ballbreaker was awesome.
Beulah Ballbreaker. and as if the name itself wasn't bad enough, they ended up giving her a nickname on top of it. It was Kong.
Yeah, she was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things I think I said in the first round that I never got out in this recording was the acting itself wasn't great, but there were a couple of characters whose just presence, their physical presence, carried their quote unquote acting. They didn't need to act so much as just be present in the way that they were. And Ballbreaker's one, and the guy who played Porky is the other. Just that big fat redneck, I'm gonna get you damn boys, and you know. He was perfect as Porky. She was perfect as Beulah Ballbreaker.
Yep, and Chris has the right of it right there. One of the best scenes in the movie is right after that dude sticks his dick through the shower head thing. And she goes to the principal's office, and she's trying to get permission to line the boys up so she can inspect their dongs.
Yes.
And like... the three people in the room just keep cracking up. How she did that scene without laughing herself is beyond me, because that is a miracle, I think.
That scene was great, and what I love the most about it is the very end of the scene when they close the scene by panning in on smiling Ike. And he's got the biggest shit-eatingest grin on his face, and it just plays the whole rest of the scene perfectly.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. Yeah, you're right, Chris. If you watch close, you can see that she almost loses it a couple times, but she holds it together.
Let me see. Okay, so I alluded to this before, but there's a couple of points in the story that some dark stuff comes up. Some stuff that you don't really... I mean, you see these sometimes as topics and dramas, but in these, in this style of comedy nowadays, you don't see things people bringing up topics like anti-Semitism and parental violence against children, alcoholic parents. I mean, you see them done as a joke in some cases, but you had all three of them in one storyline. Where the one kid's beaten up on the other because he's a Jew. The Jew kicks his ass, and then the kid who picked the fight gets beat on by his dad because the Jew kid.
Jew.
Oh my god! Then dad shows up drunk.
Dad was awesome. Riding around on a motorcycle with like a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah,
that dude was a winner. I'm going to be that guy when I grow up.
Yeah, that whole sequence, it was cool because it made the movie not just about driving the comedy and just dudes getting laid.
A couple dudes trying to get some stank on their hang lows.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was cool, and it added for some pretty hilarious jokes, too. Like, the anti-Semite kept calling the Jewish guy a kite.
Yes, I know.
He's like, dude, you're too stupid to even be a good bigot.
that was one of the best lines in the that was one of the best put downs in the movie.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
I just think that having that in there actually makes for a nice little surprise when you come back and watch this movie years later. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, you know, in thinking back on Porky's, you know, right before I watched it, I thought, okay, what do I remember about this movie? Well, I remember the scene where Pee-wee's running down the street naked. I remember them getting booted out of Porky's the first time. I remember the shower scene, and I remember them, you know, their final revenge on Porky.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I had some of the big moments in the story that I remembered vividly. But aside from that, the rest of it just kind of was there. And I really didn't remember it until I watched it. It was like, yeah, there's some really good stuff even intermixed between those things.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling it's going to be a short episode.
I think so. I'm reading some of the quotes from the movie. Billy, Cherry, this is Pee-wee. I'll say. What do you use a jockstrap, kid? What do you use for a jockstrap, kid? A peanut shell and a rubber band?
Yeah.
Billy... You know, we'd better tie a board across his ass or his leg.
So they're able to fall in? Yes.
That's awesome.
That chick won.
Yeah, this is going to be a short episode. I don't actually have much to say
about there's not too much else to say. Porky's, we could have done one of those things where we got like 10 guys together and just talked about all our favorite moments in the movie. One of the things that's interesting about the movie though is that it's pretty early in this crest of this type of movie. And this movie actually, I think a lot of later movies can point back to Porky's as their inspiration.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, American Pie. Specifically. In general, the plot is lifted from American Pie. Or American Pie has lifted their plot from Porky's.
Yeah. Although, I don't know, American Pie pulled punches too. Although Shane Elizabeth got naked, which is a definite bonus.
This is true. This is true. Yeah, I mean, I really don't have much else to say about it. It is what it is. And if you're at all tempted to see the follow-up movies, I wouldn't.
Really?
Porky's 2 wasn't bad. It had an interesting story where... If I'm remembering right, I can't remember the exact way it went down, but Meat was somehow betrothed to Porky's daughter, and she was very much not an attractive girl.
Oh, Meat, you had a big dong. What happened?
Yeah, one of the scenes we didn't talk about that I didn't remember and I found hilarious was when Meat found out he wasn't getting into Princeton and gets drunk. Yes.
And then he passes out his chili.
and the cops are going to arrest all the guys. And they're like, yeah, he's diabetic and we need to get sugar to him. Or he's taking too much insulin. And the cops say, yeah, if we found out he's drunk, we're going to arrest y'all. And they're like, he's smashed. He is lit up. Just he is so wasted. Oh.
Oh, Meat.
How we love thee and your big dong.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't remember anything beyond that. One of the things I did notice while I was actually putting the link out on Facebook to say that we were talking about this movie tonight was that They are making another Porky's.
Yeah, Stern got the rights to redo it.
And he hired the guy who wrote the screenplay for the original to write it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Bob Clark, the guy who wrote and directed the original, from what I could tell, he wrote all the follow-ups as well. It looks like from on IMDb that he is listed as writer. Well, maybe they've got him listed there just because he wrote the original screenplay. That could be as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he may not have any credit beyond just the fact that he wrote the original screenplay.
Yeah.
I don't really see a need to remake this movie, though, to be honest.
I don't, but I like Stern, so.
Well, I mean, yeah, and there is a trend among young audiences that they won't see old movies.
I don't know what you're talking about. You disparage my people. Well, I'm not really that young anymore.
Not anymore.
Past that, my life, I consider myself young.
You're getting there.
I know. It's terrible. You go out and bang me some cherry forever.
Cherry forever. That's it.
Yeah, Chris has been saying it for like 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. You know what? We've been talking almost 30 minutes now.
Whoa, 30 minutes.
Yeah. You know what? I think this will...
I got to pee.
I think we'll just go ahead and call this done. You know what? Maybe something else will come up and we'll just tack this on or use this as...
Yeah.
You know, bonus to something else.
So, I'm recording at my computer and I've got Steam on and it keeps popping up alerts as people come on.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has named their Steam account Ghoul Dukakis.
Okay.
I approve.
All right.
Oh, God, I gotta pee.
All right. Let's go ahead and call this a night so Adam can pee. See ya.
See ya.
Go pee.